Hey, everybody, and welcome to another exciting episode of Indie Film Cafe. I'm your host, Jonathan Moody, and I've got an awesome show for you guys. I have two amazing guests who haven't been here in a while, and we'll get to that in a bit. And we've got a movie. This is the last episode of this. This is the second to last episode, but this is my last episode of the season for 2021. So season four. But we have two guests that were on our show last year. And if you remember correctly, they were in the Baby Ghost episode, which was fun. And we'll get to that. And then the Zombie Cop episode, which wasn't as fun. And then they got to do Octoman. So it seems like Paul's been a little nicer to you guys than I have, you know. Because he's usually the one who's harsher, you know. And so last year was pretty, you know, I think last year was pretty tame. This year we tried to go all out on bad movies this year, stinky movies.
Movie went all out on being a stinky movie.
Yes. And we'll get into that. But before then, please welcome Lila Toba. How are you doing, Lila?
Hey.
Hey, and Bobby Gonzalez. How you doing, Bobby?
Hey.
Funny thing is, so I haven't had you guys on all this year. We've been busy. Like, you guys have been busy. You guys have been doing a million things. We'll get into that later, too. But you guys have been, you know, keeping busy, which is great. And the last thing that we did together was the Empire Records, which this is actually recorded the day before it comes out, you know, so it'll already be out when this gets released. But yeah, so there you go. Kind of funny. I didn't plan it that way, but, you know, works, I guess.
Life finds a way.
Yeah. But before we get into all that, we're going to listen to some mood music. All right, and we are back. Oh, woo!
I feel in the mood.
That movie, by the way. So we're gonna go into it. So we watched it separately, and I watched it in. I knew how bad this movie was because I saw a preview, like sort of thing, with some people talking about how bad it was, and I was like, "Oh man, this sounds so terrible." And I knew I'm gonna have to break it up. I knew I was not gonna be able to watch it all in one sitting. I would just fall asleep. You know,
did watch it
and then we fell asleep.
Okay, there you go. You watched it, then you fell asleep. So it
knocked us out. It's better than sleeping pills.
Yeah, at least that is something, right? For it.
And I didn't send out any weird tweets. So honestly, it really just is better than sleeping pills.
Wait, you sent weird tweets when?
Well, I mean, it's, you know, Ambien. You take Ambien, you know, people have been sending out weird tweets.
I'm not aware of that, but
excuse for some
that was Roseanne
unsavory opinions being.
Okay, I get it.
Yeah, take sleeping pills, you turn into a raging racist, apparently. But I mean, so far that hasn't happened yet.
We'll see. Time will tell what the movie's damage was to us. Yeah. What the price we paid.
I kind of felt sorry when I asked you guys because I said before, the last one we watched together was Zombie Cop, and that had some serious issues to it. Also had a Jamaican guy, Rastafari, to it, which we'll get into that in a little bit, I guess.
I'll say this movie was less problematic. It was still problematic, but less.
Right. So, Lila, can you tell the listeners at home the story? What's the story?
Oh, goody. Okay. So, essentially, we are met with a film with about a 20-minute intro of credits with some synthetic piano saxophone music and no plot. So essentially, a guy and his girlfriend start out somewhere in New Mexico and they're like, yeah, we're going camping, woo, show your titties. And so like they waste no time, like 10 seconds into the film, you get to see tits. So if you're that kind of person, you're looking for that, this is your film for sure. And then after that, yeah, like 20 minutes of credits, like unexplained. And like, I looked at the music director and I was like, I mean, is he proud of this? Like, it sounded like something that was made on my keyboard, like in the 80s when I was like a baby or something.
I think you're giving him more credit because like,
right? I think this is just... Thank you, because I am a musician, but you know, like, but I mean, like, that was like the first thing I was like, we're still, there's been more credits than film. And it's like, what's interesting to me about that is that there were maybe about three or four people in the opening credits in the first place. So why the music was going for so long and then all of these B-roll like shots just like constantly, I'm not joking you. If I'm being quite literal, the intro had to be like 8 minutes long. Mm-hmm. I've never seen such in my life. I mean, not at least without some kind of indication of what's going on. And all it is B-roll of like road trip footage. It doesn't make any sense at all. So essentially they're going to meet their friends by some kind of muddy creek pond in like mm-hmm. New Mexico. And I'm not sure if it's legit called Bigfoot Pond or if it's lovingly called Bigfoot Pond, because, you know, at some point they're all like camping. So yeah, that's the thing. They're going
to there is a sign, so I'm not sure if they made the sign or if that's a real place or something, you know, Bigfoot Pond. But I saw that sign in it and I go, oh, so they saw us, like, that's, this is how I view how they, like, came up with it.
I don't think you can quantify it as a pond.
That's where the budget ends.
It was a mud puddle. It was, right. it was like ankle deep water.
Right.
Yeah, that was.
Couldn't
a good
even
time.
Swim in it.
Watching everyone awkwardly, like painfully, get in there because there's like rocks and like I don't know, like splinters and
they
mud,
didn't go
and
skinny
like...
dipping. They went skinny dip their toes in.
Yeah. Right.
Skinny. I like that. Skinny dip their toes in. I don't know if
everything got skinny after that.
Oh God. And so anyway, yeah. So yeah, to go
no
on,
plot. I'm sorry. The thanks plot. For asking.
Bigfoot shows up. That happened.
Oh yeah, Bigfoot was in the film, I think.
Bigfoot was in it, sort of. He wears
either
a head.
That or a child's happy birthday party like gorilla costume.
Got lost. Was that what that was? He got lost. He was on the way to a birthday party. This is the meta, I think, is what happened. Is that there? A couple miles out, there was a children's birthday party, and the guy just got lost, and he was just looking for some help. And nobody would help him. They would just run
like
away from
Bowfinger,
him screaming.
Maybe where it was like, this is a famous Bigfoot impersonator who goes to children's party and they filmed him without his knowledge. It sort of felt like
and
that.
Bigfoot was just like, let me go to Bigfoot's pond. Like, you know,
this is his property. I mean, in a land of land back, you know what I'm saying? It's like, what are you doing on Bigfoot's property? Like, seriously.
That's true. I mean,
you all are the instigators. You all are you're trying to colonize this camping trip, buddy. Like, you know, this is his property.
Uh-huh. No, he has every right in the world to protect it. You know, I mean, if he needs to, but like, they even ask a question in the movie, like, why is he killing everybody? You know, blah, blah, blah,
unclear.
You know, like, and my whole idea of that is like, okay, so would you say that if like a bear were to come around, would you be like, why is that bear killing everybody? Doesn't it know, like, we're just on its property visiting?
I
still don't understand why they didn't get back in the car. Like, they abandoned the car. They could have just gotten in the car, even just spend the night in the car, just like lock the doors of the car and like you're fine. But they're like, no, we have to abandon the car.
Okay, so yes, we have to get into that. Okay, so yes, there's a lot of awkward titty scenes like that are pretty like flagrant as soon as we get into this, right? So like everybody shows up. And like, if for us, it becomes a joke at some point.
I just started saying, it was like, oh, this happened. Time to take your top off. And then they kept doing it. And I was like, what?
Yeah. And it was like,
I was joking.
I was kidding. You can keep your shirt on, sir. What's happening here? There was definitely a lot of like white guy ass that I could have gone without seeing in that film for sure. And it's like, they were like, we're going to make a big thing out of this skinny dipping deal. And it was so awkward. Everybody was like shaking and freezing and like
in ankle deep water.
I know, it was like a muck pond. It wasn't even like a real pond. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, why would Bigfoot live here? Maybe because people don't want to go there.
And that's because he's been trying to hide out, you know.
What I'm saying. It seems to me it's like a Medusa kind of situation. He banished himself to a place where he thought no one was going to come. You all are the ones who showed up with your swords and shields. This isn't a place you go swimming. Well, this isn't a destination for New Mexico. Like, I've never seen any brochures for this shit. Get real.
I think maybe Bigfoot was upset with the nudity. I think it wasn't swords and shields. I think it was just nipples. And he was like, how dare you just constantly take out your nipples for no reason and in very unsexy ways. Like, it serves no purpose.
Well, you know, also...
It wasn't even sexy. Like, I'm a hot-blooded man. I like seeing a breast. But there was nothing sexy about it. It was just like, oh, okay, all right, we're going to walk, not dance, walk around our fire while waving our arms about.
And they didn't even wave the arms consistently. No. Like I was saying, like, one chick was, like, holding her titties and, like, shopping for groceries. She's like, oh, are those carrots? You know, and I was like, what? They were just, like, following each other in a circle around. And I was like, okay, because, like, Jonathan and I, we did a movie recently, The Harbors, where I was like, and... I was saying, these are things you could have done to make the film better. And when Bobby and I were talking about this film, like just an hour ago, I was like, I'm going to start a new thing where I talk about how you can make these movies better. And one of the things they could have done is they could have made them like idiots that were going out to like the wilderness for a seance or like a sex cult or something like that. Because then you can justify pulling out the titties anytime you want.
Sex cult makes so much sense.
If you go into it and you're like, this is a sex cult. Or maybe we're just a group of virgins that nobody wants to have sex with, because that was my impression from a lot of the personalities at the table. But, you know, at least give us a reason why everybody's getting naked. Make it make sense.
Nobody enjoyed sex. Even the guys didn't enjoy the sex.
I mean, like, this...
The guys are easy to please.
One of the girls in the tent's like, okay. And then at the end of it,
okay,
we need to talk about the sex because it's the most important part.
No,
of this
but
film.
My favorite part is the fact that Bigfoot steals somebody or kills a person.
And he was like, babe, where'd you go?
Now hold up. This is what happens. He goes, crunch.
That was supposed to be a crunch noise. I don't know.
But that was literally.
I don't know why you thought a bottle would make a crunch noise.
For the same reason, I don't know why they thought that effect was going to sound like you snapped
someone's
neck.
All right, hold on. Oh, crunch noise.
That's literally what the effect sounded like.
That probably was what it was.
What I arrived at personally, and you guys can maybe help me out with this.
And yeah, that was a bag of marshmallows.
The girl who was on top of the guy riding him, when she got her neck broken while on top of him and then snatched up by Bigfoot, and it took him like 5 minutes, I guess, to realize she had been taken, is that she must have been pegging him. Because if he was underneath her and looking right up at her, I'm pretty sure he would have noticed, you know, like some 8 foot tall monster, like come and like break her neck and snatch
her
away.
How did he not hear the neck crack?
I mean, because the effect was bad. But, you know, even if that hadn't been the case, all I'm saying is that his head must have been down. He was not getting laid. He was getting pegged. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean.
Maybe. I don't know.
And good for her. You know what I'm saying? I'm all about modernizing these films nowadays. So, you know, I guess I'll.
Again, I think you're giving way too much credit. I think you're just. I think it was just a really big.
Well, I am
up.
On purpose because of what I said. This is how you take movies like this and you make them better and you make them make sense. If pegging makes your film better, that should tell you where you're at in your narrative.
The police are coming. To take you out of that idea away.
That's fine. You'll never take me alive.
So anyway, I that scene just drove me bonkers because as a filmmaker myself, like how do you even say that's a how do you even leave that in to the movie, you know, or whatever, and just go.
I only have one response, and that's they'll just let you put anything on Tubi, huh?
I see these movies as an inspiration because I know that if these films can make it, then anything I write must be like gold.
I'm going to show this to any struggling artist and be like, look, you can do anything you set your mind to. If this movie can get on Tubi, you can do anything you want. So it's an inspirational piece when you look at it like that. I feel inspired. I'm gonna do some writing tonight because I feel inspired by this film.
You got this.
Now because no matter what I do, it will be better than this film.
I mean, this film wasn't, in my opinion, even qualified to be on YouTube. Like it should not be. I mean, I'm just gonna I hate personally the biography, like documentary kind of Blair Witch sort of thing.
Found footage.
Found footage. I don't like it because there are very few times in which I will like it. And one of the reasons why is because just because it's cheaper to actually tape a GoPro to your actor doesn't mean that you should. But, and that was a really big failing of this film.
But
is
then
that,
they taped GoPros to everybody's head and then never changed the angle of what they were filming. Like, it was still the same. He's like, I'm going to give everybody the GoPros, but I'm still only going to, like, show this angle. Everybody, you can like, do close-ups. You can do different things.
He even said, like, there's good zooms and there's good whatever. They barely ever use anything for that, you know.
No,
they just used the same, yeah, you're right, the same angle.
They zoomed in on the titties at one point, and like all it showed me was, no, it doesn't have good zoom, everything's grainy. Those are some grainy titties.
I was like, are those even hers? But yeah, I mean, that's, yeah, of course, aside from the point, but like, you know, even if you are going to like do something like this intentionally, you know, like with a knowing wink, you still have to be able to film something we can watch. You know what I mean? Like at the end of the day, the shaking around and stuff like that, it's like, it's an effect that you use like in the moment
sparingly.
When you're running, you know what I'm saying? Or something is happening, there's an event. And it's like, the actors were constantly reacting, well, very bad actors, I must say. Sorry, guys, get to an acting class if this is your passion. Best of luck to you. You're on the right path. Keep doing stuff. Keep experimenting.
Hey, you're out there. That's good.
Because you're not there yet. You know, I mean, because there weren't like, there was not a single good performance in the punch, period. Like, you know, I mean.
Even the pond didn't do a good job being a pond.
What the man said. It's, yeah. And so it's like, really, if you have like bad acting, bad filmography, like you have so many problems here. You know what I'm saying? It's like, at the very least, pay somebody, buy them lunch to like hold the camera straight for you. There were times when like the headlamps were on like right in front of the camera.
Just so glaring into the camera.
In
like
pure darkness and you can't see anything. Else. And I'm sorry, because you know me, I always want to talk about the technical stuff. But you know, it's important that you do because like a lot of this film had to legitimately be filmed in the dark. Mm-hmm. Which would almost be impressive. It would almost be impressive. There's a part where the chick is like whittling, like some kind of like.
She's using her knife to make a pointy stick. And I'm like, you already have a knife.
You've got like this.
That's your pointy stick made of metal.
It's a murder hook. It looked like it belonged to a velociraptor at some point. It was some weird kind of side like thing. And she's like, no, no, no. I'm taking this stick to make murder. And
there's
you know,
no time except to whittle.
Exactly. And it's like, and I'm pretty sure she was doing it in the dark. If like. And of course, you know, continuity issues with like nighttime, daylight, stuff like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, the very last battle, like it looked like,
and
okay,
the sex
this is happening.
Scene where the girl gets snatched.
This is happening, you know, during like the morning. And then you see it from the GoPro angle and it's like, it's full darkness. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
What?
So that's like, you know,
when the girl gets snatched, they're in daylight and everybody else is at nighttime.
Right. Yeah.
One of my favorite movies is Ed Wood. And they point out like the fact that like, you know, in Plan 9, there's, you know, it's daytime, but then all of a sudden it's night, you know, and it goes back and forth. And if you watch that movie, yes, there are parts where it goes from daytime to nighttime to daytime to whatever, you know, and obviously that was a fuck up, you know, or whatever. And, you know, that movie is, you know, famous for being terrible, you know, because of stuff like that, you know,
this
movie should have. This movie should have like learned, you know, from
it should have enjoyed itself. And you know, I feel like there were times when I could tell that Bigfoot, like, and Bobby had even said something when we were watching. He was like, "I think Bigfoot thinks he's in a comedy," and I said, "You know what?"
But they should have embraced it.
That's what I said. I said, "You know what, though? Like, if I were doing this film, and you know, I mean, I'm 5 feet tall, but like, you know, if I were cast as Bigfoot in this film, I would have fun with it too." You know what I'm saying? It's like you might as well have a good time because nothing is normal. I mean, like, and that's what I would have liked to see. You know, if you know you're doing something cheeky and kind of stupid and irreverent, you know what I'm saying? Like, lean into that.
Give me
have
a dance
fun
number.
With it.
You know, give me some jazz hands and some step ball change.
I was thinking,
off, smoke a doobie, like there, embarrass yourself.
No, I got. You know? It actually gave me a great idea for a skit. And Bobby, if you want to steal this, you're 100% okay with that. There was a scene where the car had the, you know, he went into the car and he realized that I guess Bigfoot had messed around with all the wires. And I was like, Bigfoot, the mechanic. I mean, you know, like you get to the car and all of a sudden he slides under the, you know, from under the car. And it was like, fix like, your how problem.
Do we know he wasn't trying to help?
I mean, put some overalls on Bigfoot.
Okay.
And we got him.
Okay. We have to reframe how we're looking at this, guys, because you know what? The first murder that happens is Bigfoot trying to save her from a terrible sex situation. She wasn't enjoying herself. Maybe he did her a favor by killing her.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And I mean, he killed the guy so he wouldn't have to live with the shame. You know how men are about shame. What is it they say? Men's number one fear is that women will laugh at them. And women's fear is that men will kill them.
And in fact, the fear should be that Bigfoot
Look,
will kill
Bigfoot
them.
Bigfoot rescued us all from that today. You know, I mean, maybe we should be thanking him. Maybe he's the hero here.
Oh, Lila, you so often try to like put a positive spin on these films, and I just can't do it with this one. Like, I can't. I just can't. I'm trying to think of something good
I'm
to say.
Not. I'm giving admonition where it is due, because it is due here, but I believe that that's a big part of like the filmmaking process. It is experimentation. It is putting yourself out there. It is not taking yourself too seriously. It's a lot of these things. And so like, I love to see creators get out there and make stuff like this and enjoy themselves, but like also for it to be a stepping stone of progress for their later work. Because you see some people like the guy, you and I, what movie was it that we watched, Jonathan? You and I did a podcast where, Or no, wait, no, you weren't. It was the one we did with Paul. It was Octoman. The guy who did the effects for Octoman, which is utter shit, and everybody can agree on.
I disagree.
But I'm just saying, the guy who worked on that film ended up doing the special effects for An American Werewolf in Paris. You know what I'm saying?
So and you like, can see the kernel of that. You can see the seed being planted.
But that's what, so I mean, for me, it's like when I look at things like this, I don't necessarily see it as like, you know, let's hate on everybody. Let's talk about how dumb they are. And the way I see it is that these are all stepping stones to progress, which are ultimately stepping stones to success. If you can look at the work that you're doing and, you know, like just allow yourself, because, you know, it's one thing to like create a piece of shit. It's another thing to not create anything at all.
Right.
And the more that create, and the more that you do things, the more you learn from it, and the better you're going to get.
Those stepping stones that should just descend further into the water, so you're like, oh, I shouldn't step on this stone, I should step to the next one.
Yeah, this stone has been stepped on enough. It should be hidden in the mud completely by now.
Well, like, Robert Rodriguez said that you have 100 bad movies inside you, and you should get them out as quickly as possible.
Well, this one counted for at least 24 of them.
Yeah. So, I mean, maybe that's what he was doing.
So
maybe
another 76, and you are set, buddy.
Yeah. You know, but I mean, whatever. It's, you know, maybe this was a very big learning experience for the director. He's going to do another movie called Stampede that he's in the, and I have no idea. I'm guessing that's a Wild West story or something. I mean, he lives in New Mexico, I guess, right? So hopefully he can make a Wild West movie. Whatever.
Oh God, I want to say something nice. I'm just having such a, I'm usually the nice one too. I feel like I feel like I am.
Okay.
And in regards to this, I feel like I'm usually the nice one. I'm struggling here.
I mean, I think that like, I personally believe the people who created this film like knew what they were getting into. It's just that, like I said, I don't feel
like they knew what they were getting into on this.
I don't think that
project.
Anybody was like Oscars, you know, I mean, I don't think anybody was like, we're going to make it to the Oscars, buddy. I don't think anybody like thought that, you know what I mean? But what I like to see is I like to see people out there experimenting. Cause like for me as an actor, I like to refer to myself as a wilder. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm the one who went out there and learned and taught myself until I finally was like finding the right people and learning from them. And then, you know, later on seeking education, moving to LA, and then, you know, the rest is history. But like, you know, I think that this kind of stuff is important for young people. And I mean, anybody who is finding themselves new into the business to just like throw yourself out there. Don't take yourself too seriously. Do dumb shit. Have fun. Stumble around. Make it really awkward when you climb into a mucky pond with no clothes on.
God, see, I disagree though. I think this is a cautionary tale of, you know, pick your projects. Like, I feel like it's more.
But like I said, the technical issues are no excuse.
I'm talking about the actors.
You can give a camera to a child. You could literally give a camera to a child. You know what
I'm saying? I think also.
Better situation, and so I'm not going to allow them to get away with that at all.
I'm not sure if these were like real actors or if these were, because most of these people I don't believe have ever done anything else, you know.
Oh, absolutely not.
So these are just friends who got together and maybe auditioned them, but like it felt so fucking strange, because there's that scene in the beginning of the movie where they're all sort of talking to each other like they know each other, and then one of them gives them the other one a hug. And it's the most awkward like scene. Oh yeah, you deserve a hug too.
No.
all.
The best line was, oh, we've known each other since high school.
Yeah,
right?
I think it was high school.
Was it high school? It's was like, it school? Oh, you don't know
if you know somebody from high school?
Like, you don't know if you knew someone in high school?
Every single person I've ever, know. Like, I would know, you would know. Every single person I know from high school, I'm like, I know I met them in high
First
school.
First of all, everybody in that film is like 20 years younger than me. Second of all, not really. Do you know what I'm saying? But like, it's like, come on, high school was like 2 minutes ago for you. Like, shut the fuck up. Like, you would know. Like, and so a part of me, and I asked Bobby, I was like, do you think that the directors asked them to improv it or allowed them to?
And I said, a writer was credited very clearly.
But,
oh, no. So
well, I mean, a writer can be credited and you can still give room for improv.
I mean, okay. But I mean, nothing felt like nothing until the one chick who actually escaped, like her, like the lines, I'm getting out of here. That seemed very like written, which is why it was more stilted than everything else. And that's right. Saying something. But I mean, I think they were improvising a lot. But the problem is that they're all supposed to know each other. Like, they're all supposed to be friends. And it's clear, like, I think that they shot the film in order, as Lila said. I agree with that. She didn't say that to you. She said that to me.
Yes, I believe
that. And so I'm guessing they met that day. And they're supposed to have these relationships where they've known each other for years. And I'm like, these people look so awkward. And then there's that moment where, like, they're like, okay, we're going to skinny dip. And the one girl's like, I guess I have to take my shirt off in front of these people I just met.
Right. Just so you guys know that, yeah, there was a writer on credited. The director is also the writer, weirdly enough, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And then the on IMDb, if you look at it, there is no writer of the movie. So, I don't know. Take that for what you will. You know.
I'm actually going to leave it.
I'm going to leave
time.
It. I'm going to leave it where it's at.
I'm going to leave it right there.
Wherever you set it down, it can stay there until, you know, hell burns over. That's fine for with me.
I mean, there you go. But anyway.
You know, I had high hopes for Kelly. Kelly's the one that you're talking about. She's a gorgeous girl. And, you know, like, honestly, she was out of all the actors. Like, if I was going to say anybody had potential, it probably would have been her. The only thing was, is that, like, you know, there is no training in the bunch. Like, I don't even think that there's like a community theater credit like rubbed against them, to be honest with you. Like,
right.
I'm just saying,
like, everybody was like, you know, attractive. So it was like maybe they were found on social media, or maybe they were like friends, or, you know, whatever. And they were like, okay, you got this. All you got to do is, you know. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I just like, It's so confusing for me because, like, you know, I did a horror movie, I guess, like some 7 years ago or whatever, like before I even really got into acting, like just for funsies. Like, a friend of mine called me. I was like, hey, you want to do an 80s horror movie? And I was like, hey, do kittens like milk? And so, like, I ran and did it, right?
Do they?
They do.
Oh, okay.
So I played this chick named Heather in like this 80s horror movie. It's called Blood, Guts, and Video, if you all want to watch it. It actually has an IMDb credit too, which is hysterical. But like, it's really funny. And he was like, all you got to do is like be chased in the woods and then hang out at a bonfire, maybe fight with some, you know, like scream at somebody or whatever. Thank you. And, you know, it's just like, it was so dumb and easy. But the thing was, is I was like not trained as an actor, like at all. And I was like, I'm just going to be so outrageous because this is an 80s horror movie. You know what I'm saying? It's set in the 80s. It's a scary movie. And it's like, that's how they were. You know, and that's mm-hmm. how like silly, goofy ass stinky movies should be. They should be outrageous. And that's the thing, is like, this didn't even have that going for it. And it's like, this could all be like total, like, you know, schmutz, and that's fine. But like, at the end of the day, like, have like, make it outrageous, like make it bigger.
It could have been smut and that would have been fine. That's,
exactly. Like, you know, because like everybody knows, like, one of the tenets of a good scary movie is seeing titties or seeing sex, you know, because then you're going to die. You have sex, you're going to die. Like, you know, it's one of the rules, thanks to Scream, mm-hmm. you know, like, and so it's like, you know, that's fine. You can exploit the titties. You can have the sex. You can do whatever. Have a great time with it, but lean into it. Like, you know, make it larger.
If,
like,
you're gonna exploit
don't
it,
like
at least
shy away.
Have it be,
you know,
somewhat just sexy. Like, I was like, I've never in my life been more like, put the titties away, ever. I was.
I mean, what a shame. We all love titties here. Like,
we all love titties. Who doesn't love titties?
I mean,
terrorists don't love titties.
I don't love gratuitous nudity for no reason whatsoever, except for,
that's the problem,
you know. And that was the movie.
That was the thing, is that like they looked so uncomfortable that I felt like I was watching like a sex trafficking ring or something. It's, like, I'm not joking you. Like, the girls are like, I guess we do the naked now, and it was like, oh,
I wanted to be like, cringy. I want to be like, oh, like, well, they're contractually obligated. And I was like, I don't think they signed a contract.
I bet they
Well,
didn't.
exactly, because they're probably just people who got together and whatever, and that's fine. It's just like make sure that you're hiring people who are comfortable with nudity, because like we know as the audience, you know what I'm saying? Like I don't just know that as a woman. I know that as an audience member, and you don't have to be a good actor to like know bad acting or discomfort when you see it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like you don't have to have any experience in our field to be able to see that shit and cringe. You know, like
Even the guys were uncomfortable with the nudity that the girls were doing. They was kind of like, oh, they're taking their
The girl in the beginning was like okay with titties. She's like, sup, titties? And I'm like, go, girl. Go ahead, titties. Yeah, okay. And then everybody
pre-credits
else,
titties.
and that's great. We all love pre-credits
You
titties.
know
Who
what
doesn't
else?
love pre-credits titties? Terrorists,
Freddy
that
versus
too.
Jason had pre-credits titties, and I'm like,
They
all right,
sure
yeah, there
did.
you
And
go.
that's great. And that's why it's a classic thing to do. And it's fine. The only thing is that the actors were really uncomfortable.
And thus I was
And so it's
uncomfortable.
like, you know, you have a diverse cast, which is cool because you don't see it. And frankly, the black survivor. We have a black survivor. When does that ever happen?
That does
actually
not.
They, you know,
that the girl
they.
that the woman in the car was going to turn the like the GoPro over, and it was going to be Bigfoot. That
That's
Bigfoot
what I
had
thought
grown.
too. Oh my God. I
Yeah,
thought
okay,
that
thank
next
God. All
because
right,
we're not
good.
going to talk about the deeply problematic moment where the friends reach over and see Bigfoot wearing her fucking bandana and mistake for her. Like,
But I mean,
okay.
if this, but the
So
thing is,
your
if this is
beautiful, dainty
true,
friend is somehow now this 8 foot fur monster who happens to have taste in fucking textiles.
but if
Give
this
me
is
a
true,
fucking break. I
follow
will
through.
fight.
If this is true, it's got to be Bigfoot at the end.
I mean, you know
Look
what?
at
At
that,
that
he didn't
point,
die. He got poked with a stick,
at that point,
and it wasn't
you
even the
know,
pointy stick. It was a blunt stick.
like right up in the eye, and no sound effects for
No sound
impact.
effects in the ending
And
fight.
you have to have it, you know, for the impact, we have to know. I mean, that's why we did a pfft. You know, like when we're playing movies, you know, like you can't do that. But no, I mean, like the guy who found her, this is where it gets real. The guy who found, well, Bigfoot her in her fucking scarf or whatever. Okay, this is her boyfriend. This is somebody who literally just had her lay down and naked in a fucking tent. And I know it was dark, but they even talked about how they've been doing this for 9 months now.
Yep, which is
And
basically
somebody,
forever.
that's the beginning of that was the beginning of the film. They're like, we've been riding the hobby horse for 9 months. Yeah. And then somebody else is like, well, I approve. That's great. And I'm like, nobody gives a shit. That's fine. The thing is that you mean to tell me you have been hanging out with this person for 9 months, fully undressed, fully naked, fully fucking, and somehow, Bigfoot, it could be confused for this person. Like, Bobby, I love you very much. We've been together for like a year and a half, right?
Which is basically forever.
And he's pretty hairy.
Do you approve, Jonathan?
Do you
I
approve?
approve. I
Okay.
approve.
Well, okay.
Oh, okay, because I did care about that. But no, but I mean, like, literally, I don't think I would ever mistake my boyfriend for fucking Bigfoot. But even if I did, or I was doing it for laughs, if I was playing for laughs, I would have written it like, well, ass tickle or something. And
And
then maybe that's Bigfoot's
then
like,
Bigfoot
ha ha ha. You know what I mean? And then like chomps his fucking head off as Bigfoot does,
I mean, look, if
but
they
didn't
hadn't,
do somehow
if
in
they
all
had
this.
never had sex, and then he would could have been mistaken and be like, "Well, I never saw her. Maybe she's hairy under there. I never saw her naked." But he'd seen her naked.
He saw her
We
naked. I
all
saw
did.
them
We
naked
all saw them
together,
naked.
so don't
You
try to lie to
fooled
me.
no one.
You fooled no one.
Oh man, so yeah, there was this. That was the problem with the movie. Well, I mean, one of the many problems with this movie is just it had, like, it almost felt like they didn't know what the fuck they were doing,
No,
obviously,
they
right?
definitely
You know,
didn't almost fly away. I'm pretty sure that was the plot, was not knowing what the fuck they were doing.
and now that you actually said
Exactly.
that, you're pretty sure that they filmed it all in sequence and everything makes total sense. Actually, not a bad idea for when you're doing a found footage film, because then you don't
Yeah.
have much editing to do. But
Or
then,
any.
because the director
yeah.
and writer was probably the editor as well.
Most
And
likely.
that happens. You got to wear a lot of hats sometimes. You know, you and I've talked about this a lot. From indie film, you got to wear a lot of hats sometimes.
And therein lies the problem. This entire film was a hat on a hat.
Yeah.
Ugh.
And then there was a bandana that the Bigfoot decided to wear.
A hat
And
on a hat on a bandana.
I mean, if I ever see Bigfoot wearing a Miami Heat hat, I promise to never confuse it for you for the rest of my life.
I mean, I hope you make friends with him, because it'd be nice to go,
I
like,
mean, if I
watch
see
a game with
Bigfoot wearing
Bigfoot.
a heat cap, I'm like, yo, we're heading out to watch a game. Let's go. I mean, we're
You're
watching
coming
the
up with
game
a
now,
be your
not
guys are coming up with better movies than this movie. you know, like hanging with Bigfoot. Like, yeah, that's
I told you this movie inspired me.
I think
I can do anything I want now.
I honestly think, Jonathan, that you and I need some kind of spinoff where that's like legitimately what we do, is we make crappy movies into better movies, and we explain how to be better and like rewrite them.
I would, mean, but
happy. You know, whoever made this film, you're welcome to take any of my notes. Please turn it into a sex cult next time, a sex cult of virgins. Like, make some Hale Bopp shit, you know, like give me some Heaven's Gate. Like, make it interesting. Make it a reason why we go to this mucky pond in the middle of nowhere, New Mexico, when there are tons of really cool places to go in New Mexico. Like, I get that you, this was probably the only place you could film. I know. I've been there.
You could have found a better, you could have found a pond that in was New more than ankle deep water.
Like, I would have gone out to Carlsbad, first of all, because like I had a friend who lived in Carlsbad, New Mexico.
I mean, yeah, that's production
this
value.
This is free advice for you, buddy. Carlsbad is, first of all, really, really cheap. So like, if and you gorgeous. Wanted to like, it's stunning. And if you wanted to like rent out any part of it, and the thing is that it also has all seasons. It'll snow out there. So, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, you have like so many resources being in New Mexico as a filmmaker. Don't waste it.
Sex cult. Make it a sex cult. You know who likes sex? You know who likes sex cults? Stanley Kubrick. You're gonna tell him he's wrong when it comes to filmmaking? No.
I mean, especially like when you start the film with people being sexual and like revealing themselves and being naked and like, ooh, titties. You know what I'm saying? Like, and then you're like, oh, they're all meeting in the woods to have an orgy. That's kind of fun. Like,
that would be so fun. What?
Like, I mean, especially if they're like college age kids, and you're like, you know, because like something like that would be fun to college age kids in theory. You know,
and then Bigfoot
saying?
Is the hero because he's taking out the
he's
showing
up with glow sticks and condoms.
See, here's
that's fun too. I actually like that idea better. I take back my idea, and I'm gonna hop on yours.
Safe sex, that Squatch.
Okay. So what I'm thinking is that the director of this film was comfortable with the girls with nudity himself, you know, or asking them to do it.
But he wrote it.
No, I know. I know. But what I'm saying
is that what he's
because everything is so uncomfortable, period. You know?
Send it to me.
Even their sex scenes were very uncomfortable. Like, I could not. No. I was like, okay, what am I watching?
Like everybody was losing their virginity.
Wasn't one dude actually had like fully clothed? You know, and like,
yeah, you could see in the tent that he was still wearing his underwear as he was thrusting, which, you know, granted, maybe he, you know, he did a little, you know, peek out the hole move.
Okay.
But that's even weirder.
I got to take something back. The moans coming from the tent were the best acting in the whole film.
I just still disagree.
No, there were some sounds coming out of the tent that I was like, that sounds like someone's really faking it in there.
I mean, if her intention was to act like she was really not enjoying it, then yes, bravo.
Gentlemen,
well
if
done.
You
want
to please your lady, all you have to do is ask. What feels good, ma'am? That's all you got to do. And it's not hard.
I mean,
it certainly wasn't in that scene.
Yeah, it was so bad. I don't know. Like the sex scenes, and the people talking about like random stories and shit. What was that smoker story the girl was talking about? Where did like what did that?
Okay, well,
I'll be honest. I've blocked it out at this point. I have no idea what the random improv was going on with.
Okay, yeah, maybe. But okay, so this is what happened was. So this girl sucked at being a kid. So her parents made her do Girl Scouts. That's the way she made it seem, right? So then she borrows some cigarettes from her uncle, and then. Okay, wait a minute. I love this because she stops. She says, wait, what do you say? Borrowed cigarettes from my uncle? And like literally
that would have been better with the
for everyone to laugh at her. And I'm like, honey, if it's funny, it'll happen. Okay, just let it go.
Everyone looked out at their scripts and were like, oh, I'm supposed to laugh here.
But then my sister started smoking the cigarette and it smelled funny. And I didn't want to smoke it anymore. Okay, wait, I'm sorry. I'm acting too good for that one. But so I think that she recognized maybe that it was marijuana. She's like, I don't want to smoke it. But like, I don't know, some fuckery happens. The joint gets lost. And then apparently they set some shit on fire where a town of 50,000 people must be evacuated because of a fucking joint.
And there was like no investigation. If 50,000 people get evacuated, you know how much money that costs? There's gonna be an investigation.
And they were like, no one found us. This is just a great anecdotal thing. When I go out to really terrible camping trips with people, I just tell them.
Also, the one guy's story where he was like, oh yeah, this This Indian chief, which already, God, problematic.
Okay, like, it's not Indian, yo.
Unless he was talking about a person from India who was a police chief that was then buried there.
Why is that so hard for people?
I don't understand. Like... But then he was like, if you hear somebody's foot just slightly rubbing on the ground, don't go outside. I'm like, then never go outside? I mean, that's just what happens when people are existing.
So, like, never walk at all?
What he called the chief mummy or something, right? The chief's mummy, you know?
Yeah, I really don't know what Native American culture involves mummification in North America.
Okay, well, I can't speak to that.
I can't speak to that, is my point. I don't know. So I don't know where he's getting his archaeological evidence from.
Yeah, a word that was very difficult to say in the script.
That guy had never said that word again. That has never said his word. Like, he saw it in the script and he was like, I got this. And then they go to film and he'd clearly never said the word archaeological in his life. He tried three times.
And literally, like, his castmate was like, archaeological.
Let's move on, guys. We have a lot to film.
You know, that wasn't on her script at all, but she was like, you know, because you've been there.
She felt the pain.
We've all been there. We've been there with somebody who's not saying the word right when we're reading the script. Like, even if it's just a read through or something, we're like, yo, this how you say it, you dumb fuck. We've all been there. Come on.
How do you get to that point in life and not know how to say archaeological? Like, all you have to, like, watch one Indiana Jones movie, buddy. Like, you got this.
No, he didn't. Because if he had, then he would know they're not called fucking Indians.
Yep. I mean, you guys were nice for saying, like, Native Americans, but these people just don't understand.
It's not
anything.
Nice. It's appropriate.
It's appropriate.
And even Native American, I mean, the point is they're indigenous. This is their land. It's stolen. We're living on it. So, like, the least that you can do is title them correctly for being
exactly.
You know, whether or not people come from, like, you know, India or whatever, like, the group of people who have been robbed are indigenous people. They were here first. So, like, don't disrespect that shit, especially because, like, New Mexico, amongst a lot of the other states in this country, is responsible for some of the most amounts of
Trail of Tears.
Land, you know, in this country. So, like, you especially should be fucking minding your manners when you're making a film on their land.
That's mm-hmm. all. Exactly. Well, there you go. And these people, well, I don't know where that even came from. Like, if that was, like, something that the writer had thought of.
I mean, it certainly, like, served no purpose.
It was thoughtless. It's inconsiderate. That's what a lot of it is. You know, it's the kind of, what do you call it? Lukewarm racism, where it's like, I don't have the courage to be an outright racist, but I don't have the knowledge to be a normal human being. So I just say shit that I've heard and repeat it and then act like it doesn't matter and it's not important.
It wasn't even plot relevant. Like, when we watched Zombie Cop, like, all the stuff that they were doing, it was plot relevant. It was terrible.
100%.
But plot relevant. This was just like, you could have said any story.
At least there was a plot.
You could have said any story you wanted to fill the time. Because, like, look, I guess to get on Tubi, you need to have the movie be a certain amount of time. And they could have had any story. It didn't have to be this. Bigfoot had nothing to do with, like, the indigenous population that once lived on that land. Like, it could have been anything.
And, you know, with respect, like, you know, there was a filmmaker back in Louisville who I won't even name. But, like, you know, they kind of made films with, like, lots of nudity and lots of sex and stuff like that. And sometimes when you see things like this and you see, like, everything else that's been forgotten that tend to be the most important things about making a film, it does sort of feel a little bit like you're making some material for your own motivation. You know, it does start to look a little bit, especially like when your script has no plot, your camera sucks, your lighting sucks, your actors suck, when everything about what you are doing is literally on the wrong page, a different book, maybe not even the right fucking genre at that. You know what I'm saying? It starts to look a little bit masturbatory. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's like, are you trying to make a film or are you trying to make some stuff for your private collection?
See, I mean, even if that was the case, if that was the case, massive failure on that front anyway, because I don't know how anybody could have found any of that arousing.
Like I said, one thing I'll say, though, lots of attractive people in the film.
Mm-hmm.
Handpicked for just that reason.
But being used in the most unattractive way possible.
With respect to the actors. They weren't picked for their acting prowess. Like, that's, you know. So it's kind of sad in a way when you see stuff like this, because it's a little bit of a mockery of what the rest of us are out here trying to do. You know, we're out here, like, really trying to, like, make stories that people can watch and, like, get excited and scream and have fun. Or, you know, like, the whole stinky film, like, world. Because, like, Bobby and I were talking about this the other day, like, how Evil Dead in a lot of ways was kind of, like, you know, the precipice of that for us, like, our enjoyment of stinky films anyways, like our B-movies, Z-movies. Mm-hmm. you know, a lot of it came from Evil Dead, and a lot of people don't realize, like, is there people like on the who don't get it, who are like, no, Evil Dead is a great film. It's made right.
That's me. I said that.
No, it's okay. No, you didn't say quite that. No. There are people who like will actually try to like argue like the genius of, you know, like,
right.
Which was an accident. And that's what makes it genius, is that what made it genius is what came next. They realized that they had made a stinky movie, but the problem was when they made the first one, they were like, okay, we're taking this way too goddamn seriously, right? Like literally,
right.
All kinds of shit that goes on.
Right.
And you know, like,
that's where we came to in the conversation. Cause all of my like positive memories actually come from Evil Dead 2. Like all the stuff that I was bringing
exactly.
up.
Exactly. Everybody's favorite movie is either Evil Dead 2 or Army of Darkness. And this is precisely why, because after that point, they were
groovy.
Like, it was a realization. Nobody's ever going to take this franchise seriously, but it's really popular for being bad. Let's have fun with it. Let's make it outrageous. Let's get crazy.
And I love Evil Dead, though.
Have you read It's Just Good Kill?
What? Oh, yeah, I own it. And I love it.
To say, so you know all about like Bruce Campbell's like heartbreak, like with Evil
right.
Dead.
And here's the thing. Here's the thing. When they made Evil Dead, A, they had an amazing script. They had friends who already worked together. They all had been, most of them have been in movies together. They had worked together, all the crafts. Yeah, they had good chemistry. They knew Bruce Campbell was the lead because he's a leading man material. They knew all these things. They went in there. They made as scary of a movie as they could with the budget that they had. And it was actually pretty decent. Like, I love that movie. Now, granted, a lot of people love Evil Dead 2 and Evil Dead and Army of Darkness more because of the comedy aspects of it and how goofy and silly and fun it became. I like the original because it inspires me as a filmmaker that you can go out and make something amazing.
That is my point. That's the reason why I brought up Evil Dead at all, is because like that's at the heart of what we do, and it's at the heart of why we enjoy stinky movies, is because mm-hmm. Evil Dead was a beginning.
It was inspired people.
Not too seriously.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like there are a lot of really stinky films that are older than Evil Dead that you and I have like watched even together, and we've laughed about, like Octomom, I think is older than Evil Dead even.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what I'm saying?
I enjoyed Octomom. It's terrible, but
no,
I enjoyed that.
Octomom's a right. good time. And it, there are places where it gets lost and stuff, but at least it has a plot. But this is why I brought up Evil Dead, because like for our generation, for the people who like, you know, lived through the Evil Dead kind of movement and mm-hmm. stuff like that, this is why we horror movie at all. You know, like I did the Evil Dead the musical like a few years ago, and like I did the choreo and I was Linda, and it was really fun. It was a great time. Like Evil Dead is a legacy, you mm-hmm. know, and every time that I think anyone in our generation like watches these films or makes these kind of films, I think that that's like at the heart of what we do. You know, like Bruce Campbell is like, you know, our hero. He's our uh-huh. champ for stinky movies, and he's the one that made it cool.
I love him.
I mean, he couldn't be a better person either. Like, you know, I mean, he's just a goofy ass. And frankly, Ash versus the Evil Dead, the show on Stars,
it's fantastic.
Is excellent.
I love
it's
it.
Great. You also get to see Lucy Lawless looking fine
well,
as,
there you go.
As always. But no, I mean, I bring that up because I just would like for the person who made this film to know that you make Bruce Campbell cry.
I think I figured it out. I think I figured it out why
have
I can't.
Fun with this shit.
Why
if you're
going to
make a dumb
good.
Movie, lean into it, be outrageous. What would Bruce Campbell do, buddy? Think about that when you're making a movie. That's all I have to say to you.
I think I figured out why it is that I mean, usually I do try to find the good. I do try to like enjoy what is terrible about these movies. I mean, The Room is one of my favorite movies of all time. It's just so bad it's good. I need to introduce it to Lila at some point. But I want to introduce it to her the right way. You're in a movie theater and you are throwing spoons at the screen. And she doesn't understand why, but there's a good reason for it. But the thing is, and this is why The Room is also better than this film. This is why The Evil Dead, this is why any movie that you have shown me is better than this, is because, and The Evil Dead, like, they all tried. They all right. really, really tried. They all went out there and were like, we're making an effort. Like, we don't have a big budget. We don't have the best screenwriters. We don't have the best actors. We don't have the best equipment, but we're trying. Why? Because mm-hmm. we're passionate. And this movie, and maybe I'm wrong, it just really felt like it didn't try.
Exactly.
It felt like they just went out there like, all right, we're just going to do this. It didn't right. feel like a passion project. It didn't feel like somebody was like, I'm finally getting the opportunity to do this and I'm finally doing this. It just felt like, okay, we're making this. And that's why I can't say anything good about it, because there's no effort. It's not even low effort. There's no effort.
I feel like that on the side of production. However, you know, even though the acting is has a lot to be required. I think that at least the actors still agreed to go and live in that world. You know what I'm saying? Like, even though I don't think that their abilities are strong enough, even for like outrageous comedy to have like, you know, met that requirement, I still think that they all agreed to go and live in that world. And I feel like, you know, there's something to be said for them that they were willing to go with this artist along on his journey. And, you know, like, I still think that they deserve credit for, like, you know, their moxie and their gumption for going out there, getting naked, even if they don't like it and get comfortable with it. And like I said, you know, like, I, watching these artists, I saw commitment from them enough to where it's like, you know, I hope that if this is really their passion, that they will pursue a higher learning in acting. Because, you know, I mean, obviously, it's a blessing and a curse to fall in love with this field and to want to live in it and work in it. You know, like, for people like me, there's no other way to live. It just doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. We don't exist without this.
I'm not good at anything else. That's why I keep doing it.
I mean, you know, so it's like, if they are having that feeling, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want for people to watch this movie and be like, but you suck as an actor, get the fuck out of here. I want for people, and I will say it to them as an actor, as a person living in LA, as a person who's pursuing this lifelong insane dream, is that, you know, like, seek knowledge, like, take classes. You know, like, try to get out there and really act. You know, like, I'm not going to criticize them just, like, outright and be like, you're a shitty actor, you suck, give up and kill yourself. You know, because, like, well, I mean, I'm not a terrible person.
I would say the first half of that, you're a shitty actor, yes.
But I'm just
I would
saying, say, like, after, keep at it. For the actors to have done what the director put them through for this film, it tells me that these are people who care about it. And so please, like, go out there and act. And if for some reason this video or this sound happens to reach you, like, reach out to me and I'll put you on your way. I'll help you, like, connect with people that are going to make that's you better sweet. Actors. Like, that's no, I mean good. That. Like, I mean that because, like, there are obviously people who wanted to do this enough.
I mean, I would never tell any actor who wants to do it, I'll never tell them to stop doing it. I will say, keep at it.
Exactly.
You know, get whatever training you need to, or just, you know, one of these things that just seemed like this is everybody's first anything they've ever done. And it's going to come with a lot of nerves. It's going to come with a lot of learning, and they're not going to know what they're doing. And I mean, but anybody can do it if they just keep at it and they get the proper training or just the proper experience. And so for them, yeah, I'm going to say they were absolutely terrible, but it doesn't mean that they can't be redeemed, that they can't, you know, still go out there. I think every single person in that movie could one day win an Oscar if they work at it.
Right.
I think anybody could. I think that's, absolutely anybody could.
That's just the thing.
I read a really interesting quote just today, actually, from Christoph Waltz, who is one of my very favorite actors of all time, like, period. He said, no, I'm not passionate about acting. It's my career. It's like a job. The only reason why I become successful at it after years and years and years and years of failing at it is because I had persistence. You know, and that's, like, something that, like, I'm starting to learn. You know, I've been out in LA for a couple of years. I've had some really lucky moments, actually, you know, as an actor, as you know. But at the same time, you know, it wasn't just, you know, like, my ability that got me there. It was my hard work. It was my persistence. It was my willingness to show up. And, like, that's what I do see in these actors, like, because I know that they were uncomfortable. I could tell, you know, like, I mean, first of all, it's like, I mean, I'm, you know, Meisner trained actor. So, like, I know every teeny tiny, like, fear that you're feeling the minute I watch you. You know what I'm saying? I know these actors are uncomfortable and they didn't want to do it, but I know that they committed themselves to it, which is, there's something to be said for that in terms of, like, perseverance and fortitude. And that's what I think it really takes to make it in this industry, period, on any side, whether you're a writer, director, producer. I don't think you have to be passionate about what you are doing. I think that you have to be persistent about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessarily passion that you need, because passion is fleeting. Passion confuses us. Passion makes us disoriented. But persistence, fortitude, staying the course and refusing to submit is what I think makes us successful in any endeavor, ultimately.
Absolutely. I mean, I couldn't agree more. I mean, Lila knows, you know, I don't know if Jonathan, if you know, I know your viewers definitely don't, but I've been doing it since I was 9 years old.
I know you've been doing it for a long time since you were a kid.
I mean, a 20-year slog.
So, I mean, it really is just persistence that has, you know, kept fortitude. Any sort of flame alive, that has kept any sort of jobs from showing up, because, you know, sometimes it's been few and far between. I've gone years without working.
Be the last fucking man standing. You know what I'm saying? Because everybody else gets worn out. Everybody else tires out. Be the last man standing.
Be why the last man standing.
Well, on that note, I think it's time to go to our rating, but wow, we I think we dived a little bit deeper than we normally do for these shows.
Made this movie way cooler than it could have ever been.
Yeah, I think you guys got some really good points in there, and it wasn't about like, oh, let's talk about the story, let's talk about this, let's talk about, you know what I mean? You tried. Like, there wasn't much.
I like
much
how Jonathan like literally leads with, Lila, tell us what happened. And I'm like,
nothing.
Because Jonathan and I, this is all that we ever do when we talk to each other, is like, pick out the plot, like all day long.
I mean,
Jonathan's I come to Jonathan, I'm like, could you make heads or tails of this? And Jonathan will be like, oh, I was hoping you could.
Yeah, I was hoping you could.
I almost feel like you set me up there, buddy. You were like, why don't you tell the plot?
Well, we do that all the time. We do that to all our guests. We try to get them to do the plot, because we, Paul and I can, I mean, we can come up with plot ideas, but I mean, me, I'm terrible at bringing it down to a log line or a story like that. But we're going to
remind me of the rating system.
Can I ask you really quick though, what year did this film come out? I'm sorry, that's super important to me.
2020.
Okay. So yeah. filmed pandemic, pre-pandemic kind of, I'm just curious.
I'm not sure when they actually filmed, but I think it came out in 2020.
Having a small cast in the middle of nowhere would be ideal in 2020. Yeah. I'm sorry. Okay, thanks.
Okay, so the rating system is a 1 to 10 rating system, where 10 is stinky and bad, and 1 is good. You could also give it a 0.5 if you feel like it's sort of between one or the other. And I'm excited to hear what you guys have to say about this, because the stinkometer, we'll talk about it after.
So 10 being the worst, 1 being this might actually be a good film.
Yes.
50. 50 stinky cheese fuck yous.
So you would say a 10.
And yes, and the parting words of actors, please continue. It's not always this bad with people that you work with. And if the director would like to call me, I'll be happy to set him straight about the proper nomenclature for the people who stolen land he's living on.
All right. So how about you, Bobby?
So I'm gonna give you two different scores, and you can pick whichever one of those you want. I think for the average viewer, hear me out first. For the average viewer, I would say 100% this is a 10. 100%. For anybody with insomnia, it's a 1. If anybody has insomnia, seek this film out, watch it. Best sleep of your life afterwards.
I'm gonna go with the higher one on that.
Okay, that's fine. That makes
we'll
sense.
Also with the 10, but I totally get that now. Because it did help you guys. You know,
it helped. I never nap. That was such a good nap.
All right. Well, there
I
you
woke
go.
Up feeling refreshed and inspired.
Yeah, there you go. It inspired you. I'm also going to give it a 10 as well. So it's the second 30 that we've gotten this year. However, this isn't the first 10 I've thrown out. I have done multiple 10s this year, and people usually have something redeeming about it. There's something like this. Oh, the cinematography was great. So cinematography.
The harbors had beautiful cinematography. We couldn't shut up about it.
I know. If we had rated that movie,
he was in Texas at that time.
If we had rated that movie, it would have gotten less than a 10, because it has some good.
This is my first 10 ever.
Zombie Cop was your first 10.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense, actually.
I can understand from Bobby's perspective. He's been in the industry since he was a teeny tiny kid. You know, he studied at Strasbourg. He studied with Meisner. You know, it's like, I can understand why it's really easy for him to slap the stinky 10 really fast.
Well, I said that's only one. I'm not giving a 10 too.
But I have to say, out of all of the stinky films that we have watched together, this one is my least favorite.
Yeah, no 100%.
Right. Well,
just I'm giving you the freebie bonus insult, and I'm sorry, because I hate to do that. I feel bad telling somebody that Twitter stuff sucks, but at the end of the day, it's like, you know, like at least they're like, you know, like Ghost, like Baby Ghost was so much fun.
That was all improv too.
Good time. And first of all, you know, like
having Elvira's dimensions be like the code for, you know, a ghost lockbox, that's a brilliant idea. That's 1 point off just for that.
You also have Baby Ghost.
That's a great song. Great song.
All right. Which this movie didn't have music. Good
last
music.
Time that we did indie film.
Are we doing this every single time we're ever on with Jonathan?
Such a great song, and I know that it's his favorite.
All right, here we go.
It is my favorite.
That song sound like the Go-Go's.
Yeah.
The
Baby Go-Go's.
Baby Go-Go's.
Sounds like the Go-Go's a little bit to me.
That's right. This was probably my least favorite of the ones that I've been on with you guys.
It may be my least favorite movie I've ever seen, just period. Just
although I will say that I'm honored that you have put me to the highest level of torture that you have at this point. Because yeah, Jonathan was texting me earlier and he was like, yo, you might want to watch this movie in shifts. Like, we've been talking about it over the weekend a little bit.
And
I was like,
no.
We want it fresh in our minds. We want to be ready.
No. Be honest. Be 100% honest. You were like, okay, I do. And then Bobby was like, no.
That was my point.
I was like, let's just watch
it. I was trying to heed sage advice.
So it's fresh in the head.
And Bobby was like, no, buddy.
Caution to the wind.
So even last night before we watched this film, I was like, Jonathan, like light some candles or whatever.
We need a vigil.
You know,
pray for us.
Send some good energy vibes. He's gonna make us watch it in one whole slog tomorrow. Yeah. Right before. It's like a part of me was afraid we weren't gonna get through it.
May I remind you what a nice nap we had?
I mean, it was
May I
a
remind
nice nap.
You?
I did text you and said, are you guys done with it yet? And you're like, nope, still slogging along.
I did. And then, you know, what's funny about that is I think you texted me like right after that. And you were like, I'm sorry, but I had already fallen asleep. That's why you didn't hear back from me.
Oh, okay. No. And you know what? I took a nap today too. And I don't know if that was it either.
Did this make you hypnotize us?
I don't know. I just realized that. I just realized, like, I got
showing our titties for no reason.
I know. I was watching something else and then finished this, and even 20 minutes, man, screw ASMR. Put on, put on Tara Bigfoot Bond.
Well, that's fine because there is no sound. That was one of my biggest gripes, actually, believe it or not, about this film is the sound effects. Like, how easy are sound effects to achieve, like, either in post, even during? And it's like...
Hold on. I have a sound effect. Oh, Bigfoot got hit again. Oh, no, Bigfoot got hit again. Oh, Bigfoot. Oh. No, not Bigfoot.
We did it. You can hire us anytime. We work from home. We've got snowballs. We can do your sound effects for you.
I've always wanted to be a Foley artist.
Oh, my God. It's so much fun.
It seems like so much fun.
So much fun.
Well, there you go. Wow. So our second 30 of the year and both of them by me. So I'm really hoping that Paul, we're watching a movie on Sunday with Paul. I'm
You're slacking off, Paul. Paul, you got to pick worse movies. Come on.
Pick the worst films.
There's sort of been one and like.
You're winning. Oh, Jonathan's in the lead.
You know, you should get your donors to place. That
come on, Paul. Step
win.
Your game up.
Good idea.
Oh,
that's actually a great idea.
I love that. Oh. My money's on Jonathan so far because so far every single movie I've watched with Jonathan has been closer to getting 30s.
I mean, that's like picking whoever's like first in the league.
I, for one,
after 40
games, I will pledge $10 for my first bet on Jonathan.
I will bet 11.
Are you voting for Paul?
I'm voting for Jonathan 100%.
Okay,
I'm just saying I'm more confident.
We love you,
by a
Paul.
Dollar.
We love you so much.
But step your game up.
We're
step
team
it up.
Jonathan.
Step it up,
Jonathan
Paul.
Jonathan is the king stinky cheese.
Do you,
so
do you hear that, Paul?
Next, I talk man way too much.
Next season, we've got to bring you back on Paul's episode. And Paul has got to give you guys a stinky 10 yeah. or so, you know, something we'll that, you know, and you can tell them whether or not you actually think it's worse than Terror Bigfoot Pond.
Right now, this movie is competing with all of the movies as worst movie of all time. And it's well in the lead.
Paul, I'm happy to give you a chance to defend yourself, buddy. But I got to let you know right now, Jonathan's a king stinky cheese.
Yep. So there you go.
Yeah, maybe we should start the competition like in December and then like announce it on New Year's or something.
Oh, that's a good idea. There you go.
Like, do like a whole like winter, a winter like in stinky showdown.
I'll tell you some of the titles that I've got for coming up for next year later.
Who wins? So $10 a vote. Each movie who wins.
I've already got pretty much almost every movie picked out for next year. And so I'm really excited. I think there's going to be.
Are you doing The Room?
We already did it for for Patreon.
I'm so upset that I wasn't on The Room episode.
We tortured our original co-host, Just Jen, with that one. It was fun. It's going to be our final Patreon only for the season. So
all right, you know, what did it get?
Yes,
oh, it got a 30, you know.
Really?
Yeah,
there's so many redeeming qualities of that film.
I believe it got a 30. I'd have to look back, but I'm pretty sure it got a 30.
It's so funny.
It's still so bad, like there cannot
of course it is, but it's funny and entertaining.
It's got so, you gotta watch it because I don't know when the last time you watched it, but you gotta watch it again. Because
I've never
some,
seen it, so maybe you should revisit The Room with me. And
Jonathan, I have
we
seen
definitely will.
It came out in like what, 2006 or something like that. I've seen it at least 20 times. There was a point where I was watching it at least once a year in theaters. I've met Tommy Wiseau. Like I'm a huge stinky fan of this film.
I've seen it on Riff Tracks in the theater, you know, once, but I'd love to see the actual movie in the theater. I just haven't had the opportunity.
Maybe we should watch it over FaceTime with
another film that he made called Best Friends. The S is an apostrophe, is encapsulated in parentheses.
It's supposed to be like Best Fiends, you know, or something.
Yeah. Or yeah, maybe
the R.
The hallmark of a stinky film is when you talk about other films to get away from talking about the stinky film.
We're done with Terror.
We've gone so wildly off track.
I mean, we picked two of the most famous stinky films.
I don't know if
time.
You're going to edit this or not, so I'm sorry.
No. Nope. This is all going in there.
And you guys get all of us.
Yep. There's no outtakes or no cut scenes. That's all in one thing.
Raw footage. You heard it here, folks. I think, and you know,
we filmed it sequentially, just like Terror Picked Up On.
I'm going to say, I think that you all should vote for a showdown December 1st to January 1st. Patreons only. Votes made.
Let's get ready to stinky.
Who is the stinky king of indie film cafe?
I gotta send this to
21 bucks on Jonathan. Who else is in? That's all I want to know.
I gotta send this to Paul so he can hear you guys talk, you know, or whatever.
I think it should be a 10 movie showdown.
We have laid down the
gauntlet. I
think
we can watch 10 movies in a month.
We're actually, interestingly enough, we're doing a thing with our friend Angel. She's coming out this December. So you know, she lives in North Carolina, so not too far away. But she's coming out for a onesie party. Now it's a like onesie 24-hour movie thing. We're gonna watch movies like back to back to back, and then we're gonna do like two Patreon only. But it's 24 hours of stink, of like terrible, terrible movies.
Oh my god, you should run that whole thing live.
Just don't do this movie because
you should do it live.
If this was
like
the first
telephone
movie, then you would only have an hour and a half, and then you just the rest of the time is just everybody's napping.
Right.
This one takes the cake, guys. I mean, if this guy's aim was to make the worst movie ever, I think he won.
If this movie was to make visual ambient, if his goal was to make visual ambient, yeah, so bravo. Well done.
Well, there you go. So, yeah, so Killer Biker Chicks and this are so far the only ones this season to get a 30. And you would have, Lila, I'm so glad I didn't show Killer Biker Chicks to you because you would have absolutely hated it. Yeah, it's absolutely inappropriate and disgusting and not in a charming kind of sweet kind of thing. It's just disgusting movie.
I mean, it takes a lot to charm me.
Yeah. So it would not have. It was terrible.
I am the Simon Cowell of Indie Film Cafe and y'all.
I think I lost you guys for a second.
It doesn't matter. I just want to say that the Stinky King defendant, I think the Stinky King is Jonathan. And I think that tonight, Bobby and I are imposing a challenge.
A gauntlet.
If you will.
If you might.
If you might.
I would love to see that. Like, I would definitely love to see us do like a showdown, you know, and see who can do it. Maybe not with like this, I don't know. Like, would it be with the same movies that we'll talk about this. We'll figure this out. Patreon fans.
You know, what work out best is, so this is Skinny. So the folks from Slick Flick Productions and those who partake in Indie Film Cafe are raising money to start a production company out in the Midwest. And that's really cool, man. Got some connections out here in LA, got a lot of really good support. You've got us. And what I'm imposing here is a challenge between Jonathan Moody and Paul Presenza about who is the stinkiest king of Indie Film Cafe. Who can actually propose the stinkiest film? What I propose is that you both choose, between the two of you, 5 films each.
Oh, God, no!
A panel of judges. I am nominating Bobby and myself to be 2 of amongst 3 or 4 of that panel of judges.
I second our nominations, so the motion passes.
And I think that if, you know, like, there are any fans or friends or supporters out there who really want to help get this show on the road, let's raise some money here, you know? And maybe, you know, if there is, like, a smaller group or whatever that you would like to give a portion to for charity, it is the holiday season, if you're feeling feisty, you know, I say
even if you're not,
December 1st and January 1st, and maybe make the announcement January 2nd and be like, you know, we as your panel of judges will help you decide the winner amongst the votes and the donations, and we'll figure it out. I would love to review every single one of these awful movies. It's going to be cold. We're going to be inside, man. So, like, you know, we can announce the films and everybody can watch along with us, maybe weigh in, drop some comments, say what you think. You know?
That sounds good. All right.
Be a part of the show. Absolutely. I mean, we have a good time here at Indie Film Cafe and the other podcasts that we, you know, take part in.
Hey, so we're going to have to end this right now, like, because my internet just keeps kicking me off. So it's not going to last very long, I don't think. But I appreciate you guys so much for this. This is awesome. And having you guys on here has just been amazing. And I will let Paul know about this idea for the contest and see what he thinks. And, you know, maybe we'll all just chit chat about it and come up with some ideas. But
I love you and I always love being involved. And, I don't think that people realize how much like fun stinky movies can be, like even just talking about it and laughing about it.
Yeah.
So I really appreciate you involving me. Be here. I'm looking forward to being on a panel of very critical judges for the stinky cheese competition.
I would like to double down that I'm hurt that I wasn't around for the room, but also very excited for future projects.
Yeah, for sure. Maybe we'll bring you back for the room. Maybe we'll have another, you know, another episode of it.
Revisit the room since yes. I've never.
Exactly. Since you've never seen it, we got to revisit it.
I will buy a whole set of plastic spoons so she can have the full experience.
For sure. All right. Well, thank you guys so much. And if you guys stick around, I'll chat with you after. But everybody else, Thank you guys for listening. Hope you guys had a good time, and join us in 2 weeks when we do another episode of Indie Film Cafe. But Paul is choosing, and it's the last one, so maybe he'll step up and give us a really stinky one. Who knows?
We'll find out.
What you got, Paul?
Yeah, the gauntlet has been thrown down.
Has.
All right.
That's the sound effects.
Okay, take note, Tara at Bigfoot Pond. That's what they sound like.
Well,
thanks so much for listening.
Bye-bye. Bye, everybody.